Brothers and sisters, as we move closer to the end of the month of November, we begin to approach the end of what we call the liturgical year, or the church year. That will end with the last Sunday of November, and then Advent will begin with the first Sunday of December this year. But as we move closer to that end of the year, the church is wanting to turn our attention to the day when Christ will come again. When Christ will come again to bring us into the kingdom of his Father. Also, though, it wants to remind us that the end of our lives are going to come. That we will die. And so, there's a focus on two things. Being prepared for the time when Christ comes again, but be prepared for the time that the Lord Jesus Christ invites us to come with him into the kingdom of his Father. St. Paul, in that second reading, talks about the fact that for those who have died, we ought to be people filled with hope because they believe that they will be taken up with the Lord Jesus Christ. All of those who have been reborn into him, those who are living in union with him, will be caught up with him and will be forever in the presence of the Father in heaven. Now, in the Gospel reading today, Jesus is using a custom of the time in regard to marriage to try to bring a message home to you and I. At that time, when a man and a woman married, they wouldn't come together immediately. But instead, she would return to her home and he would return to his, but he would begin to prepare the place where they were going to live. And once he had that done, then he would come and get her. But when he would come to get her would be the beginning of a great celebration. And so you have in the story today the 10 virgins who are there to accompany the bride and groom to the new home and then to share in the wedding banquet. Like the virgins in today's gospel, we are people who are waiting, but we are waiting for the bridegroom who is Christ Jesus. We are waiting for him to come for that day he will take us to the Father. But like them, like the virgins, we need to be people who are prepared, who are ready, who are waiting. Our lights must be lit. Our lamps must be burning strong. But they must be burning strong with the light of Christ, with the love that has been poured in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is what we are called to do. Continue to keep that light burning strong in us. And the fuel, the oil that will keep that light burning is our prayer, our participation in the Eucharist, the Sacrament of Reconciliation, and also our deeds of kindness, of charity, our concern for the people around us, our willingness to give of ourselves for the sake of those around us who are in need. Now, this time of waiting is not to be a time that is idle. It's to be a time in which we are very actively growing closer to Christ, very actively involved in deeds of charity and kindness and goodness. In the view of the violence that took place in Texas last Sunday in that Baptist church, and also in view of the violence that took place in Las Vegas about 6 weeks ago, I'd like to speak about that in relationship to our own waiting, anticipating the return of the Lord. As I began to think about those events, and not only those two, but other acts of violence that have been so common in recent times in our country, I began to ask myself the question, what has happened? What's happening in our society that these kind of acts of violence are taking place? And I began to think, what has happened is we have lost that sense of the dignity, the beauty, the sacredness of human life. We have forgotten that human life is really a gift to us from God. A gift he gives us so that someday we can share the divine life.
God gave us life for a purpose. He wants to share His life forever in the kingdom of our God. But we've lost that sense that life is gift. And that is a gift that is given to us so we can give ourselves back to God. In our society now, it's legal to terminate a life while it's still in the womb. It's legal to terminate a life in many places when the person is old or is sick. Now, if we can do that, if life's not sacred at the beginning and if it's not sacred at the end, what does it do to understanding of life in the middle? We've lost that sense that there is dignity to us as human beings, that there is sacredness to our lives. And because we've lost that, I think people are taking life of others without much thought. Now, there's some people going to say, well, that's because they have mental problems. But, you know, people have always had mental problems. And 50 years ago, 100 years ago, we didn't see so frequently these acts of horrible violence. Something has changed in our society that has lessened the value, the dignity of human life. And I deeply believe that it's somehow our attitude towards our capacity to terminate life, the beginning and the end, that has somehow changed our understanding of life in the middle. Now there's another factor that I'd like to bring in, because I think it's also very important. And that is, we are an increasingly angry society. This past week, I was just getting ready to park my car when I saw something written on the back of a vehicle next to me. So I got out of the car and read what it said. And I was struck by the anger that was expressed there. I'm not going to quote it because it's not really appropriate. It was very vulgar. But the anger was so strong that it made me think, that's what's happening in our society. There's so much anger that people are going out and violating the lives of others out of anger. Think about the anger that would be needed to do what was done in Las Vegas. The anger that would be needed to do what was done in that Baptist church in Texas. That's the anger that's in our society. And we see that anger around us all the time. You know, we see the anger when we listen to the news. The anger of one group against another group. You know, we see it in our political life. The Republicans against the Democrats against the Republicans. The conservatives and the liberals going back and forth. They're not going back and forth with understanding, with compassion, but with accusations, with judgments, with condemnations. What is fueling this anger? Well, I think there's a couple things, and I'm sure someone could name more. But the first thing that stands out for me is the lack of forgiveness. Are we able to forgive? You know, we all get wounded in life. We've all been hurt. And the only way to come back to tranquility and peace is that capacity to forgive. Because when I forgive, I have to let go of my anger. I have to understand that other person. And even though I may not agree, I still have to understand and cease being angry and wanting to get revenge. The other thing that is happening is that we're becoming more and more a self-centered country. We're becoming a society in which it's no longer concerned for the other as much as it is concerned for me. What I want, what I need, what makes me feel happy, what satisfies my desires. And of course, if we have that sense of entitled to things, then when I don't get them, when something doesn't happen that I think should happen to me, I become angry. And that anger then is fueling so much of the violence in our culture. Now, to bring this back to the theme at which I began, about being a people who are waiting for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus came to give us peace. On Easter Sunday, what did he say in John's Gospel, chapter 20? Peace be with you. And if we go to chapter 14, verse 27, he said to the disciples, "My peace I leave you, my peace I give you." We use that phrase at every Mass. But what it's saying is that Jesus came to give us peace. But in order for us to have that peace, we have to open our hearts to him. We have to allow his love to come into our lives. Peace is not the absence of external conflict. Peace comes from knowing that we are loved deeply by the Lord God. And that love dwells in our hearts through the power of the Spirit. That's what brings us peace. And once I have peace, then I can begin to share that peace with others. But if I'm not at peace, then I can't give that to others. And I'm going to be living in hostility and in anger. In the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You know, in this time in which we live, this time of waiting for the day that the Lord will come again, what can you do, what can I do to be peacemakers? The first thing I would suggest is that we face our own angers. Face that part of my life where I need to forgive. Who is it that I need to forgive? Each of us would do well to ask ourselves that question. Because once we forgive, we can find peace. The second thing I would say is really work to avoid hostile, provocative comments and names. You know how easily we hear hostile names, negative names. We call people names. Maybe simple names like they're stupid, they're ignorant. Can we avoid those hostile, provocative names? Because all they do is cause more hostility, more anger in others. But if we can begin to let go of that, we're not becoming the source of anger in the lives of other people. We can also avoid conversations that are angry and hostile, where people begin to talk about a certain person or a certain group, judging them, condemning them, pointing out all their faults and weaknesses. We're going to be much, much wiser, much more at peace, if we can deal with our own faults and weaknesses, begin to make the changes in our lives that we need to make. And finally, maybe the most difficult one, is we need to expect our political leaders to speak with respect towards those around them. We need to insist upon that. That they let go the hostility that's so much part of political life today. They don't always need to agree, but they need to learn to respect one another and to respect the sincerity of one another. And we can insist on that through letters, through emails, through whatever opportunities we have to be in contact with our elected representatives. We can say to them, we will no longer tolerate this hostility, this anger that is so much part of the political scene. As small communities of Southwest Kansas, we can't by ourselves change the world. But we can begin. If we as Christians can begin to change ourselves, if we can begin to let go of anger and hostility, that will begin to spread to communities around us. If it spreads to the whole Christian community, then together we can change our world. But the important thing is that change begins with you, begins with me. If each of us begin to let go of our angers, if we begin to forgive, then we can pass that peace of Christ on to others. That is the challenge that is ours. That is the opportunity that is ours.